Let's get behind the information curtain and talk access and options. You're listening to the Information Asymmetry Podcast with Montana Bush, brought to you by Thin Edge Production. Now, sit down and put your headphones on. It's time to roll.
Hello, and welcome to an episode of Information Asymmetry. I am your host, Montana. Before we jump into the interview, let's listen to the article that it's going to reference. How to Game the System, Part 1. Using sport and education to benefit underserved youth. With the recent focus of this past Summer Olympic Games, the Cavaliers' improbable win in the NBA Finals, the Cubs' first World Series win in 108 years, and the current NFL season, sports is on the brain like never before. It dominates the global consciousness to such an extent that the proliferation of social media and fantasy leagues constitute national news. Sport is good, healthy, and a catalyst for human connection, social participation, identity construction, and an opportunity to move up the social ladder, at least for some. But this is a dive into the murky waters of sport, education, elitism, and access. A roadmap for the underserved youth demographic to take hold of their future now and leverage opportunities that are often unseen for a lifetime of benefit. The role of sport, in concert with mass media, consumerism, and corporate interests, has provided a landscape that offers remarkable opportunities to a marketable few that are lucky enough to meet the standard to earn a living playing sport. Professional leagues like the NFL, NBA, MLB, and NHL employ thousands of players, each making extraordinarily amounts of money when compared to the average earnings of an American. This landscape provides a litany of incentives to all actors in the arena, from media moguls, corporation marketing departments, team owners, players, agents, and all the way down to the amateur leagues of colleges, high schools, and easily influenced youths. The matrix is large and complex and obscures a simple fact that big money and success in sports only comes to a small minority, and that success is fleeting for the majority. What would happen if youth understood the reality of this landscape? Would they make different choices that were more realistic and aligned with their own best interest? This article provides the key information and a roadmap for assisting with these choices and outlines the reasons why you should care. The NCAA, the background and the reality. The NCAA has pushed the narrative of amateurism and education in a way that could be considered exploitative when big sports mean really big dollars. Professional sports are also to blame as they position themselves as accessible to everyone, yet only employ a few. Popular storylines are often touted, Tiger Woods as an African-American golfer, and the Williams sisters as dominant tennis players from Compton, California, not to mention the meteoric rise of LeBron James and others like him. These stories showcase the glossy veneer of athletic prowess, but fail to highlight the untold pressure and support and sheer talent that these stars were subject to. Sport in America is considered one of the most popular pastimes and supreme revenue generators. With television contracts for the Big Four sports leagues and NCAA accumulating over $8 billion per year. Underserved groups with little resources and no realistic understanding of this see these events and dream of a better life by becoming part of that system. When compared to the relative menial financial existence of those around them, the current median hourly rate is just over $70 an hour, and the average salary for those on or just above the poverty line is around $13,000 per year, it is easy to understand the allure to pursue a professional sport. NCAA Division I and Division II schools in total provide more than $2.7 billion in athletic scholarships annually to more than 150,000 student-athletes. But only about 2% of high school athletes are awarded athletic scholarships. With an average annual salary of over $3 million, it is easy to see how many youth would be tempted to pursue a profession in these fields. Unfortunately, this perspective is skewed by the fact that under 1% of all high school youth that play sports ever make it to the pro leagues. This is provided by the NCAA. And even those who do make it have, on average, a five-year career opportunity. Why would anyone bet on these odds? Would you bet on these odds? Sadly, too many do. Compounding this, over the last three generations, the ascension of the professional athlete slash entertainer has coincided with the proliferation of sporting slash entertainment events slash social media that have further skewed the public's general perception of what is normal in the sporting world. Youth that face the likelihood of no dinner at home, violence in the neighborhood, often substandard education, and little job prospects in their community are highly susceptible to mass media's emphasis on favorable outcomes relating to sport. An imagined life in the penthouse is much better than the reality of life in public housing. But the sad truth is that these seemingly quick fixes are anything but, and the security provided by these professions is short-lived for most. Money mismanagement is not atypical. The trumpeting of athletic superiority over educational aptitude does not provide long-term support. The lure of quick-fix solutions and immediate gratification often hinders more sustainable long-term planning, a sad reality to realize when it is too late to do much about it. We are not suggesting that professional sports should not be pursued by those that have the talent to land one of the coveted spots on a roster. What we are suggesting is that for the majority of youth who are chasing unobtainable dreams in professional sports, there is an opportunity to refocus their time, passion, and commitment to areas of athletics that utilizes the concepts of interestingness and the undermanning theory, items later addressed in this piece, to access significant upside access with comparably little downside risk, dealing with the potential isolation issues when you find yourself bucking the norm. Why not maximize this known reality by turbocharging opportunities with angles rarely used? Sports like rowing, fencing, squash, swimming, and water polo all provide this alternative route to ladder up, and this is how the game is laid out to those that seek to be informed. The importance of early decisions. These decisions made at specific inflection points on a young person's life matter significantly. If these decisions used efficiently and met with a distinct double down on focus, aligning one's focus, pastimes, and related activities at the university level, huge benefits will result. In a concerted effort to hack the university, career, and life equation, a little foresight and planning go a long way. If students have the ability to recognize the longer-term repercussions of their decisions in terms that matter to them, then the world becomes theirs. Sports are a fantastic tool, but as a means to a better end. This is that big picture. It is nuanced, and it is complicated. Education, the forest for the trees. Education is regularly perceived as a way to ladder up in society. As racial and economic disparities in educational attainment grow across the world, many universities have changed their financial aid policies to make it easier for students from diverse backgrounds to attend, while they're also addressing on-campus environments to make them more welcoming to a wider and more diverse student body. Universities have begun to recognize the vast benefit of improving access to all capable students, whether via the classroom, more involved alumni, or new institutional strategies. The number of college-aged youth, ages 18 to 25 demographic, continue to rise. Universities have grown larger, new institutions have formed, and the junior college circuit has ballooned, and with it, more access for more people. However, highly selective universities are the only area where the increase in potential students has drastically altered the competitive environment. Interestingly, the only group that systematically receives a benefit from attending an elite university, after economic, education, and life situation variables are taken into account, are students from the very lowest economic level of society. These students benefit from utilizing a system that has been set up specifically to receive them. Amherst College, for one, has gained national recognition for its concerted efforts to build diversity, and the University of Michigan lowered the academic bar for certain groups to help them gain admission. high-achieving universities are looking for qualified, socioeconomically diverse students and establishing creative ways to admit them. Yet, many of these youths across the U.S. who qualify as academically top-tier, based on standardized testing, class ranking, school grades, and/or outside accomplishments, never show up on the radar of admission teams at select enrollment universities. This is in part due to institutional/logistical limitations. And other and perhaps stronger barriers existed based on potential applicant. Let me repeat that. This is in part due to institutional logistical limitations and other and perhaps stronger barriers based on the potential applicant and his or her family. These include concerns regarding affordability, proximity, and isolation, as well as a lack of high expectations for achievement. Over the past 10 years, it has become 39% harder to gain admission to one of the top 30 universities and 50% harder to get into an Ivy League university. Undoubtedly, this college arms race reflects the understanding that education is a key variable in achieving upward mobility. To be continued. How to Game the System, Part 2. Using sport and education to benefit underserved youth. Costs. Getting real. Tuition has become an increasingly prickly subject for university-attending families. Since 1981, the general cost of tuition, broadly speaking, in the United States, has run more than 100% ahead of the Consumer Price Index, whereas the median family income has risen 27%. This situation is placing university education increasingly out of reach for those with little disposable income or the ability to obtain credit. As a result, many students and their families view selective universities, which often carry a higher sticker price, as simply unaffordable. In a 2008 study by Lizis and Tian, they identify the six most important factors that influence college choice. Tuition, cost, and location were the runaway winners, leading to the conclusion that lower income groups are less likely to apply to more expensive institutions, thereby seriously limiting their post-secondary opportunities. In addition, underserved students have a strong preference to remain close to home as a result of feeling constrained by financial circumstances. Financial aid opportunities have also risen sharply due to the College Access and Opportunity Act of 2006, and with individual universities using their endowments to provide assistance for lower socioeconomic background students, the actual price for many lower and middle income students has not increased significantly. Moreover, many elite universities offer free tuition to incoming students who could not otherwise afford to attend. Prospective students and their families often do not understand this reality. The importance of education is substantiated by salary research. The book called The College Payoff that showed a lifetime earnings boost of 73% for those that obtained a bachelor's degree versus a high school diploma, while some studies have shown that the return on investment for some universities exceeds that of basic equities, gold holdings, and a 10-year treasury bond. It is no secret that education has routinely been touted as one of the best investments a person can make. The hack. As educational attainment continues to diverge among different strata of society, the strategic importance of getting a top-level education is an urgent issue. But with admission rates now well below 10% for the most selective universities, should applicants from lower socioeconomic backgrounds even bother with a process that seems stacked against them? What is the education game? How does the education ladder truly work? Is there a way for academically qualified students from lower socioeconomic backgrounds to hack the seemingly complex and contradictory university admission system? The trick to any successful hack is to fully understand the desired outcome and work backwards to take advantage of loopholes encountered along the way. Sadly, many youth from lower socioeconomic backgrounds do not fully understand the ramifications of the seemingly smaller decisions they make in their adolescence and subsequently get left behind. How can we help young people from this demographic fully understand the landscape in order for them to make decisions in their best current and future self-interest? And the role of sport. It is well known that participation in sport in and of itself offers a huge boon to those that seek to improve time management skills, improve personal focus, build a network of shared identities, and, as stated by Shulman and Bowen in their book Game of Life, state a clear claim of support to the adult athlete with the following quote. One of these characteristics can be thought of as drive, a strong desire to succeed and unswerving determination to reach a goal, whether it be winning the next game or closing a sale. Similarly, athletes tend to be more energetic than the average person, which translates into the ability to work hard over longer periods of time. To meet, for example, the workload demands placed on young people by an investment bank in the throes of analyzing a transaction. In addition, athletes are more likely than others to be highly competitive, gregarious, and confident in their ability to work well within groups or teams. If you dig a little bit deeper to identify what connects these top-tier universities, you will find that the prevalence of alternative sports, sports that are mainly non-revenue generating and are often considered fringe activities, is an important strategic similarity. It is here that opportunity meets need. Of the top universities in the country, those ranked in the top 50% by the annual U.S. News ranking, 100% of them provide institutional support for at least two of the following sports: rowing, fencing, squash, water polo, lacrosse, and/or diving. These are examples of the sports attracting supported admissions and/or sports scholarships, a direct path to the university, and laddering up. As an example of the odds, of the over 2 million boys involved in high school big-name sports, baseball, football, basketball, and hockey, only 7% will even play in college. And given that under 5% of those kids will ever see a game day check as a professional, coming out of an elite university and starting a job somewhere like McKinsey is nothing short of miraculous. The world we now live in is moving towards and will be dominated by the skilled worker and the knowledge economy. This change will not happen right away, but the move is irreversible. Though exceptions to every rule exist, attending a university, and a high-end one at that, is the odds-on favorite way to succeeding in this new reality. Being very good, or at least above average, in a sport or group where you are clearly an outlier puts you in a position to receive attention and focus that members of larger group cannot hope to get. When it comes to the college entrance game, elite universities want these applicants and are willing to throw money their way if they qualify academically. Leveraging undermanding theory to create one's personal story of interestingness is an approach that can and should be forged early. Success and Challenges, a CTC case study. Founded in 2006, the Chicago Training Center is a free after-school program that engages economically disadvantaged inner-city teens in an alternative sport of competitive rowing. CTC leverages rowing as a means to improving young people's physical and emotional well-being, encourage academic persistence, and raise their expectations for college and beyond. CTC was conceived as a way to help target youth to hack the college admission system by establishing a high interestingness quotient and leveraging the undermanning theory. By engaging and training non-traditional crew athletes, namely low-income youth of color, the program creates a pipeline to selected colleges that have both rowing programs and strong diversity initiatives. Of the 45 students enrolled in CTC during 2014-15, 64% were male and 36% were female. 58% were Latino, 11% African-American, 27% white, and 4% other. Approximately 55% qualified as low or extremely low income, 23% had at least one parent who did not complete high school, and 58% had two parents without any college education. In addition, 50% of the students lived in households where the primary language was not English. At present, less than 70% of students in the Chicago public schools graduate high school within 5 years, and the majority of those who transition to college attend non-selective or somewhat selective local schools with extremely low institutional graduation rates. To date, 100% of teens who participate in CTC throughout their high school years successfully graduate, and 90% have immediately transitioned to college. CTC now has more than 120 graduate alumni, defined as students who are at least a year-long team member and have since graduated from high schools. Key findings from this group in a survey included respondents' parents had a college graduation rate of less than 30%. This points to potential issues surrounding a lack of understanding of college life and the admissions process. The majority of respondents reported that their schools and or parents supported their pursuit of higher education. Students seemed to understand the system of laddering up. 3. Respondents affirmed that grades were important and that they made decisions about their future based on some long-term plan. However, this interest in schooling was often matched with ignorance towards the nuances of navigating college financing, a distinct lack of school-based support in identifying the best colleges for them, and how to approach that particular application process, and a knowledge gap in fully understanding college tiers and their importance. In short, there seemed to be limits to their understanding of how to ladder up. Location and cost were huge determinants of college choice for this cohort. Similarly, the 6 characteristics most influencing their college decisions closely mirrored those referenced earlier by Lysis and Tian. Only 60% of the respondents actively sought support during college when work, school life became challenging. This suggests an overall lack of confidence, indifference, or an ability to be proactive and assertive in their own best interests. 6. When trying to get a job outside of college, respondents' ideas of what would help them the most were categorically mixed. Though it is understandable that 18-year-olds would be less engaged in thinking about life post-college, it was nevertheless concerning to learn how much fear, uncertainty, and passivity trumped excitement, focus, and assertiveness. Responses demonstrate that while CTC participants recognize the role of a college education in laddering up and can identify key strategic opportunities in the college admission process, they often back away from pursuing their best education they're qualified for cultural and/or personal reasons. This requires further examination. It must also be noted that some CTC alumni have suspended or failed to complete their college educations, whether due to financial, academic, or personal issues. This suggests that, for target youth, simply understanding how to hack the post-secondary system is not enough. More work still needs to be done to build motivation, self-efficacy, and long-term goal setting in this group. Bringing the argument to your hood, youth from lower socioeconomic backgrounds are now in the position to present themselves as a commodity to the highest echelon universities, assuming they can meet minimum academic standards and demonstrate that interestingness. Accessing the higher education system has moved into a game of strategy and marketing on the part of the target youth, and they occupy a position of advantage that has never been fully leveraged. The plight of the inner city kid is well documented. All one has to do is watch documentaries like Hoop Dreams, Through the Fire, and Benji, or Hollywood dramas like Friday Night Lights, Blue Chips, or He Got Game to understand the perspectives, realities, and complexities faced by these kids. Through a combination of mass media saturation, huge disparities of wealth, and a largely inadequate public schooling system, it is easy to understand that the pull for a professional sports career is strong. But often, the pull to the bright lights and inflated bank accounts obscure the reality on the ground. Helping underserved youth, particularly those that have grown up in generational poverty, ladder up is an extraordinarily complex endeavor. Education is not a destination, but a launching pad, and this understanding is invaluable. Hacking the system by using the already strong interest in sports is a no-brainer. In a game that requires many moves by many players, self-advocacy is the best tactic. As Malcolm Gladwell outlined the characteristics of a rock star in his famed article, Getting In, a youth can wrestle with the idea of being confidently different and exhibiting clear traits of interestingness stands to benefit from the majority of life's opportunities. The argument broken down. Young people from disadvantaged backgrounds often lack the resources, support, and insight in a manner that is relevant to them. Following the crowd is the easy thing to do. Access often does not show up on your doorstep, and a certain amount of intrepidness is required to see and understand the many choices available. Socioeconomic mobility is strongly tied to education and the tangential benefits it brings. University selectivity matters. Networks matter. Experience matters. The best way to ladder up in America society is through these vehicles. Using the interest in sports to stack the deck in your favor is a tool that every underserved youth that loves sports ought to utilize. That drive, commitment, and willingness to put it all on the line is a trait that is wildly rewarded in American society. With your back against the wall, shouldn't you look for the most interesting and strategically impressive way out? Using alternative sports in this undermanding way is that tool. Use it. As the philosopher Seneca wrote, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. We hope you enjoyed part one. Stay tuned for part two.
Thank you for listening to the Information Asymmetry Podcast. You've now been given some knowledge. Use it. This has been an exclusive Thin Edge production.